Well, I mean, I just compare it to drug use in my own generation, you know, and I think we grew up at that era where drug use was becoming kind of socially acceptable. So, say my dad's generation, drugs, any form of drugs was just verboten. You just didn't do it. But they didn't mind spending all the money down the ale house, you know. So to them, that was acceptable. That was socially acceptable. I think when we started reaching 15, 16, it was cannabis about, you know, it was usually cannabis. And when I say cannabis, it was kind of what we call Rocky now, Moroccan or Lebanese, Leb. And there was bits of speed around. There was certainly no cocaine around at those times. That was still kind of a rock star drug. When we got into the 80s, there was a lot of heroin started coming in. And we all know the effects that that's had. I think the generational split between, say, my generation and my daughter, one daughter's 23, the other's 17, is not only the availability. There might have been one or two dealers, where there's dealers on every virtually every street, maybe more than one or two, and just how easy it is to get hold of, and the price of things that has come down that much that buying drugs is often cheaper, well, certainly cheaper than buying ale most of the time, and buying anything else, you know. So it's become relatively affordable for all age groups and at all levels of society.
I mean, I think that's one of the really interesting factors here, that sort of ease of accessibility, you say there, knowing where to go to get it. But equally, there's then the affordability that suddenly, instead of going out and having a few beers, you can go out and buy, in many cases, hard drugs now. What sort of things are we talking about here? Are we talking pocket money prices in some cases?
Well, I mean, a tenner's not that much these days. So a £10 bag maybe, or even a £5 bag of, say, weed. You know, you might even be able to get a £10 bag of coke these days, where it used to be like £50 at least, you know, back in the day. So you are getting cheaper and cheaper drugs. I think that the important thing is the switch to skunk has been tremendous over the last decade, I'd say. So whether that's just fueled by cultural reasons, whether it's just kids emulating, you know, rappers who are all heavy skunk users, and that sort of message is just become part and parcel of hip-hop culture now, where skunk is just part and parcel of the actual culture of hip-hop. And that is apes, I'm pretty sure, especially amongst the sort of age group I'm dealing with. So I'm talking lads, mostly lads. I did have girls, but I'm talking mostly lads between the ages of 16 and 23. Who are not in education, employment or training, so they've got that stigmatised tag of neets. So I'm working with a group of kids that age in Halton and Warrington with a company called Powered in Partnership. And, you know, these kids have got real issues. They often come from what you'd say broken families, but people who've survived pretty traumatic childhoods in many cases. They might have been in care. They've probably been excluded from school in a lot of cases. The mums and dads might have drug issues, alcohol issues. They've got poor academic attainment. And most of them are all right, you know, they're good kids. Once you get beyond that veneer of maybe cockiness, they're all kids who've got talents and skills to offer.
What are they like? What are they like, Phil, when you sit down with them and you talk to them about the drug use? You talk to them about how much money they're spending on drugs. Are they sort of in denial about it? Do they talk openly about it?
Well, I mean, I've done my own research with the young people that I'm dealing with now. And obviously, there's still that element of drugs are illegal. So there is, people don't really want to open up to you too much. People may exaggerate, you know, people may not tell you as much as what they are taking. But I've just said, like, just be honest with me. And I'd say out of the kids that I've spoke to so far, they've all been really honest. Some say, you know, we might, from one example of, you know, I'm spending 50 quid a week on weed and 40 quid on my ciggies, and then I'm buying tobacco on top of that. And so that is like his most of his wages going on weed, basically. He's living at home with his mum and dad, so he's not paying any keep. He's not really going out of the house. He's just sat in his bedroom smoking weed all the time. It's not healthy, I don't think, especially if you're isolated doing it. And I'm not saying that cannabis, you know, I know lads my age who have a spliff a day, and probably have done, it doesn't affect their work, it doesn't affect the family life, it doesn't affect anything. But when I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 joints a day with skunk, which is a lot more powerful than what traditional cannabis, I think it is leading to serious mental health issues with a lot of young people.
And that's one of the key things, I think, that I'm sort of keen to make sure the message is out there. There'll be parents listening to that who might be 40, 45 now in that age group that, say, used to be the ones who were treated, who might think, well, my son or daughter's not going to be involved in this sort of thing because, you know, heroin, that's something you need loads of money for that one. You know, they don't, you know, they only have a little bit of pocket money. Actually, one of the key things you're saying there is actually these things might be happening now. They might be happening to your child. You might not even know about it. And that accessibility is there. It might be on a street corner, might be from a friend. And the availability is there because it's only actually £5, £10, £20 a time to be getting the sort of kicks that people are looking for.
Yeah, it's become bread and butter, I think, for the dealers. You know, whereas once upon a time, say, like, heroin was pretty cheap. Now, a lot of people, it's like young people, don't take heroin. Not much, anyway. Because you can see the result of heroin use on people who started in the 80s. It's all around the city. When those people were 18 and 19, there wasn't those people around to look at and go, that's what heroin does to you. You know, 20, 30 years down the line, you might have got Keith Richards or a few jazz musicians or something like that. So it was still kind of glamorous. Now you've got walking examples of what heroin does to people. The fact with skunk is we haven't really got those people. You know, we might have 10, 15 years, you know, down the line. But it's still seen as quite a relatively safe drug. And we've heard, you know, I don't know how many stories about skunk being grown in conditions with, it's been treated with sort of opiates as well, which, whether it's true or not, there's kind of too much, I've heard it from too many people now for it to be entirely untrue. You know, a multi-agency approach, I think, is the only way we can tackle this. And that includes the government, local authorities, the NHS and mental health services, the CCGs, the clinical commissioning groups, treatment providers, obviously, social services, criminal justice system, and the media. I think the media has got an important part to play in this. So the likes of City Talk getting involved in this can spread a message, and it's not one of, hey kids, just say no, but be aware of what this is that you're taking. You know, again, that could come down to, you know, a chemical analysis of what's actually in these bags, because that might surprise a lot of people as well.
Have drugs ever been more affordable and available than they are today?
Possibly not. I don't think on the availability, I think it's just become, it is an industry. It's never recognised it as an industry.
Philip, people want to find out some more about the work that you're doing and get in contact as well. Reach Northwest. Just tell us about it. There's a website people can go to and get some more information.
Yeah, it's reachnorthwestcic.com, and you can contact me at reachnorthwest, that's Northwest spelled Northwest, not NW, at hotmail.co.uk. As I say, we deal with, I try and do creative art, so drama, photography, film, radio, with disadvantaged communities, individuals and communities, not necessarily young people, although I do deal with young people, but that could be any group, old people, migrant groups. So I'm keen to work with anyone. I've wrote a discussion document, that's all it is. It's just a document to say, this is what I think is happening. Here's some evidence to back some of it up. Here's some of my personal views and my personal experiences. And I'm trying to start a debate. That's all it is. And I hope that other people can get involved in that debate.
Phil, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, mate.